Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. I hope you are having a wonderful day out there, and hopefully we have a good show today. We've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we've got some rugby. Kane Williamson's retirement. Oh my God! That's a bit of a surprise. Anyway, if you're heading anywhere in town, head to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on tap. They have a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, and music Wednesday through to... Sorry. Pardon me. Wednesday through to Friday, and they have daily food specials. So their number is 09-377-3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Jeez, I hope my throat lasts the... I hope I can talk through the rest of the show the way it's going. Anyway, here to chat to us on rugby from All Black, AJ Whitten. G'day, AJ. How are you, mate?
Good morning, Peggy. I was a bit worried about you, but as I say, there might be some of our thousands of listeners a bit happy that you may have a break and can't talk. Maybe it's a sign from above, but anyway, you're still breathing.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, or else it wouldn't be, or else you'd have to do this part of the show, in which would, I'd love to see you try and struggle through all the technology I have to run through to get a show, so do, you know.
We'd have some fun, I tell you. I'll tell you, for about 34, over a couple of hours, it'll all be about me. I'd have to go through the archives, so I'll be putting some listeners to sleep, but anyway.
Well, that's you can't, because that's what I already do. Anyway, we started off Super Rugby semi-finals last night. Chiefs 49, Crusaders 12. I have never seen 40 minutes of such clinical rugby by the Chiefs. Luke Jacobson really has put his hand up again to say to Dave Rennie, do not forget about me. I was so impressed. Fekete in the centres was just brilliant, but the forward domination was huge. Leroy Carter, you made a great appearance. But, you know, big concerns for the Crusaders, maybe also for Dave Rennie. Big Lester, Fa'anunuku, had a serious ankle injury. But just your review, that first half, I was blown away.
Well, I think... Most of the crowd would have been in, and the people watching on TV, yeah, the advertisement for rugby, that was absolutely superb. That's what it needed. I think the competition just needed someone to come out and express themselves, and whatever John O'Gibbs said or put into their breakfast, Weet-Bix and milk, it certainly worked, because they just took off like flying out of a cannon. As I say, very entertaining. They just cut them apart. There was no answer from the Crusaders, and they just played, you would have to say, near on the perfect first 40-odd minutes. I've been most impressed. I know the forwards just cleaned out the Crusaders and gave them some quality ball. But Damien McKenzie, he did really probably one of his best games as a conductor. But he's brought in these players that we're now hearing. Hutchinson, Toi Pumafalo, Coombs family, Fekete. Now, these weren't household names, but my word, they are certainly establishing themselves, and they're good to see this talent all of a sudden on the stage at Waikato. Played some brilliant rugby, great tries. I thought Ratama just played one of his best games also in that 40 minutes. But the forwards you mentioned, right across the board, you just mentioned obviously Jacobson, but the loose forwards, the middle row, even Tukiahu and Norris, they all deserve a pat on the back, because they laid their foundation, and it was, what you say, more or less a complete performance in that first half. And really, the game was all over, and the Crusaders were just spectators.
Well, they were, and I'll say it right now, in all my time to watching the Crusaders since this competition started, I've never seen a first half where they've been so dominated. And even back to the amateur era where I think about it, when it was the old when it used to be Canterbury MPC, I think the last time a team dominated them so much was your mob when you robbed the shield off us.
Well, yeah, that was a great era, and I said, exceptional talent players. You don't get that very often. But as I said, it did remind me, to be honest, of the way that we played and the old days. And it was just, yeah, pure joy to watch, because it wasn't hairy, scary stuff. It was clinical. They found some gaps. They opened them up like a can open at times, and there were some really, really entertaining tries. But as like all good things, trying to replicate that in the second half, it did lose its way a bit. The game was all over, and the more the Crusaders tried, the more mistakes they made. So, disappointing for them, but I think Rob Penny can hold his head high. Champions last year, they won't be this year. He goes out on making this a semi-final, and I think he's done a terrific job with the Crusaders. And he leaves them in good hands, and I think he can go back down to Canterbury and have a nice cold beer and say, yeah, I've enjoyed my run there.
And he has, and, you know, look for it next year. It is going to be a different Crusaders side. There's going to be a few losses, but a few additions as well. We move on to semi-final number two at Henry Stadium. The Hurricanes versus the Blues. The Hurricanes just looked so dominant last week, and it was just like, whoa. The Blues really, last chance saloon for them, but I just can't see them beating this Hurricane side. I think the top two is what we're expecting in the final.
Yeah, I think we started to see, I think I mentioned this on the program 3 or 4 weeks, that I just thought the top two teams would be the Chiefs and Hurricanes, and they haven't let us down. They've had the odd wobble on the way, as you do, but just their consistency and their depth of their squads has proven significant, Piggy. So the top two teams, the best two teams, are in the competition. We've got to make sure the Canes beat the Blues, and hey, wouldn't that be something if the Blues could turn around their average season and take this one out at Henry Stadium? That would certainly be an upset. So, look, let's give them some grace. I just don't think they can do it. I know there's been a few changes with Vern Cotter. He's got Sotutu back at the boot of the scrum, but the Rapping's been obviously suspended. The teams are pretty even on paper. You go through both sides, especially the Lucy, Sotutu, Signa, Barnes. I mean, that's pretty good against Shields, Luckey, Kariffi, Dearns and Delaney. Then you've got Tuipulotu and Derry. So, look, there's some great competition, man on right through that team. So, but I just think Roy Gard and Love, that combination over Christie and Perifita, is just too talented, too creative, and the quality ball that they get, well, you get it out to Proctor, Morby, Harkin and Flanagan. So, boy, it's try time. So, looking forward to it, but certainly it's all uphill for the Blues if they want to roll the Hurricanes at Henry Stadium.
Absolutely, and of course, starting this weekend is Super Rugby Piki, a women's competition. The Blues will be playing the Hurricanes Poa at Eden Park, 2:05 today, and Matatu, which is a combination of the Crusaders and Highlanders, will take on Chiefs Manawa. So if you are in the Auckland area or the Christchurch area, try and get down to support them. Many top players on display, including several Black Ferns. So good luck to both those teams. I'm personally picking a Blues and a Matatu win for that, but that's going to be my thing on it. But also during the week, an announcement was made that Tony Brown, who's currently the assistant coach of South Africa, is coming back to New Zealand Rugby to be the All Blacks assistant in 2028. Read from it what you want, AJ, believe me, I think they've wanted him for a long time.
Yeah, and look, they've made a big call this far out, so you have to say, look, we know he's a talent. That doesn't necessarily mean that Jamie Joseph will be the coach, of course. Dave Renner's got it for a couple of years. If the team goes exceptionally well, come back, you're world champions. I'm assuming he'll take on, but I think in this professional age. He's always, no doubt, been wanted to come home and coach, and the opportunity's been presented, so he's grabbed it. So good luck to him. And it doesn't really matter who he's around, he'll be an exceptional asset, we know that. So just interesting to say how many coaches come in, does someone drop out? That's the other
wow,
thing.
Wow, yeah.
So that'll get the old tails wagging. So, but anyway, they've gone ahead, they've been bold, which some would say has been probably a bit lacking with the New Zealand Rugby executive. So, well done to secure someone of that talent.
Well, I think it's a good talent, depending on what happens after 2027. People just have to remember that Dave Rennie's contract is through until the end of this World Cup. Whatever happens after that, it really becomes dependent on results and really dependent on what direction New Zealand Rugby want to take the All Blacks. But I would say that Tony Brown, he's coached with some of the best coaches in the world. He's coached with probably the best coach in the world, Rassie Erasmus. He's got a lot of IP, which he could gain from South Africa. I know for a fact that at one point they were trying to get him to help out with the Highlanders, but then the All Blacks thing came in, and I think South Africa put a kibosh on that. But it's, to me, I think it's good that we've got one of the best rugby brains in the country coming back.
Oh, look, no doubt. And as I said, we're being proactive, which is said, it's not usually happens with New Zealand Rugby Union. So I'm pretty happy with that decision. And look, in this modern game, you coach whoever is and you want to be and who's around your team. He probably may not make that decision. So it is, he's been comfortable to make that decision. Who's ever there is there. So it doesn't have to be a Jamie Joseph Brown collaboration. And if we win the World Cup, and let's hope we do cross all our fingers and toes, Dave Rennie may say, look, I'm back on board for another 2 or 4 years. So let's just wait and see. A lot of water to go under the bridge.
Of course there is.
A lot of games to go, a lot of test matches, and we'll have a few up and downs as we go. But no, just good to see a coach of his ability coming home to New Zealand, and we're going to reap the benefits of it.
Absolutely. And one of the big things is that I think it's going to be great for the game. I think it's good. Anyway, obviously, geez, some sports news. Obviously, the World Cup's all ramped up and one all draw between Bosnia, Herzegovina and Canada. And, of course, big news. And I know you love cricket. Kane Williamson retiring.
Well, look, I do follow the cricket. I follow a lot of sports, especially the Kiwis, been competing in around the world. And, yes, Kane Williams, we probably had an inkling it was on its way. And, look, just congratulations. And been a fantastic performer for New Zealand. And what an astonishing cricketer. And I've certainly watched a few of his hundreds on the telly. So, congratulations. Good luck to him. And, your service to New Zealand cricket, it'll be go down as one of the best.
And a fine ambassador to New Zealand sports. I was going to say great New Zealander, but I hear it on another show on midday on another station, so I won't go down that. Oh, God, here we go. Yep, I'm going to get a warning. I can see the cease and desist email coming right now. Anyway, what are you up for the weekend, AJ? You and the crew watching the rugby?
I was watching Grandma beat Ponsonby last week, and look, it was terrific. It doesn't come often. Caught up with a couple of old hands, and yes, and we did talk some rubbish about the old days and had a few pints, so it was great. And that's the beauty of going down to club rugby at times to catch up with some mates. And so that was cool. Obviously, the game tonight, the Blues Hurricanes. I just got a text from Trent a little. Just got to have Tigger. They're all getting prepared. A few of the crew are coming around there with Marlon and Bertie. And this is W. So we're going to put our feet up, have a couple of snarlies, and we'll watch some footy, and hopefully we have another entertaining match, mate.
Let's hope so. I think it's geez, I can tell you something right now. It's a great time to watch sports in this country, mate, because it's all going off. Obviously, I know you follow all sports. Will you be obviously yourself and Balu, your partner in crime? Will you be out watching the football on Tuesday?
Possibly. I got to get through the weekend. It's a very busy calendar because I've got a lot of people to catch up. They're called friends.
Yes. Something,
mate, more singular. I've got plural, so... I've got the Formula One to get through. Well, that's Mrs. Redden. That's she loves that. So we'll certainly be watching the Formula One, the racing circuit. So loved it. So busy weekend of sport. Sport's good for everything, mate.
It absolutely is. AJ, thank you so much. Have a great weekend, mate.
Thank you, boy. Look out.
Cheers. AJ Wetton, and next up we're going to try and get hold of Kevin Hicklin as we speak some regional rugby from across the 09 region.
And remember last time I thanked you, keeping my distance unintentionally. Too close for comfort, staying close enough. If I could have more time, we would brainstorm. And I love you tender, but we must walk away. Keeping you on my greeting card file. And if it were different, but you know it ain't. Let's get on with it, love. Call me loyal. I'll say you're loyal too. You know you're loyal. I feel you're loyal too. Call me loyal. I'll hold you
Hey, well, what a classic, Kiwi classic it is. Dave Dobbin's loyal, I have to say, and that's what club rugby's about. It's about loyalty to your club. Anyway, before we get on to our next guest, Kevin Hicklin, this is a big shout out to the sponsor of the segment is Force Electrical. Force Electrical was started in 2014 by my good mate Nick Brakovich, Eden Legend as well too, and has grown into be a trusted name across the wider region. And why you should get Force Electrical, reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What can they do well? They can do anything from residential, commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage and ELV solutions. So if you're looking for any electrical work to be done, no job too big, no job too small, give Nick a call. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email him nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. So Stephen Harris is he's unavailable for this week. I hope everything's all good, Stephen. Joining us, I suppose when we speak loyal, there's no man loyal to Maris Rugby than Kevin Hicklin. Good morning to you, Kevin.
Good morning, and lovely morning it is too.
It certainly is. Well, Kevin, we're going to kick it off. We're going to go right up north to Northland, and these are the games of the weekend. Omatea versus Wellsford, Carmo versus Hora Hora, Hikarangi versus Old Boys Marist, Western Sharks versus Kerikeri, and the match of the day up in Northland, Ngāti Hino Moriwa versus the unbeaten Mid-Northern. Just some of your thoughts.
Well, yeah, Mid-Northern, of course, you know, a great club of the Northland Rugby, you know, the Goeyen family, of course, was, you know, instrumental within that club. They've always been a very, very strong force in rugby in the North, and, you know, unbeaten. Always difficult in club rugby to go through this stage of the season to remain unbeaten because, you know, injuries, representative commitments, all other things that happen. It's a big challenge to remain unbeaten. And, of course, Carmo, you know, as we know, Carmo James, his legacy there. And, you know, I think the other thing about Northland at the moment, I think there's a resurgence up in the North of club rugby. And there's a lot of youth from the North that are also now coming through into age group sides. And, you know, that's all good for... And they cover a big geographic up there as well to, you know, to play their club rugby. And so, the, you know, the great volunteers and workers and coaches up there do a wonderful job. And, you know, I think we are seeing one of the areas in the country where we are seeing a resurgence of club rugby.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go for, this is my thoughts on Northland, I'm going to go for a Welsford win over Omatea. Horahora, who are doing really well over Carmo. Hikarangi over Old Boys Maris. Western Sharks, I think, will be too good.
Oh, I can't agree. I can't agree with that one, sorry.
What? yeah, I know that. Hikarangi, I know you're not going to agree. Western Sharks should be Kerry. Nate, the main match of the day, I think this one will be a fantastic match. It would be great to watch that one, but I think Mid-Northern just too good.
Yeah, well, they got a record of their own, haven't they, in the North? And, you know, there's great history within that club, and they've got a very, very strong club.
Absolutely. So we go down the motorway to North Harbour, and these are the games in the North Harbour Union. Helensville versus Silverdale. North Shore, the unbeaten North Shore, taking on Northcote. Takapuna versus Marish, and probably the match of the round of the North Harbour. And Kumeu versus Maharangi. Well, just some of your thoughts. North Shore, well, very dominating.
North Shore have been dominant again this year. You know, they certainly attract, you know, there's a jubilee year for them as well at North Shore. And, you know, they've got a great array of players over there, a good number of the North Harbour players line up within that North Shore side. Yeah, Northcote, you know, the Go Lightly club, bit of an unknown, you know, they have the ups and downs, but, you know, you'd have to say Shore would be the team to beat. You know, Takapuna as well, of course, are always strong and at the back end of the season always feature in the finals. And, you know, North Harbour, you know, although they won't like me saying this, but it's a wee bit like Auckland, really are going through the struggles of the competition of having a full array of what I would call competitive sides to avoid blowouts in our Premier Rugby grades. It's evident in Auckland, despite Auckland Rugby endeavouring to try and change that, and it's also evident in North Harbour as well. So the message is, the sooner that North Harbour and Auckland Club Rugby, Premier Rugby and Women's Rugby and say under 21s all come together as per the old days, the better it will be all round.
It certainly will. So I've got my picks for this weekend. I'm going to go Silverdale over Helensville, Shore over Northcote. Takapuna, I think, will just edge out Massey, a very good man. And Kumeu, they're going great guns for a win over Maharangi. So we go down to Counties Manukau. Now, this, you talk about blowouts. This competition, you've got three or four, maybe five competitive sides, and a couple of that are just really struggling at the moment. And it's been a very interesting tight fight. It's been a tight at the top of the table, but at the bottom you can see there's been some big scores. These are the games for today. Karaka versus Pukekohe, Padamahoe versus Ardmore, and I better put down Marist or else Kevin will hang up on me. And Weymouth versus Bob Bay, and Mangarewa versus Papakura. So I'll be straight to the point. There are two games which you can call straight away. Bombay will beat Weymouth by how much, we don't know. Mangarewa should easily account for Papakura. Both those, Weymouth and Papakura, have really struggled. There have been a couple of 100-point scores on them, and, you know, I don't know what they're doing out at counties, but I don't think it's good for rugby.
No, I agree entirely. You know, sooner or later something has to be done, no doubt about that. Karaka, very, very strong club. They're strong on and off the field. They've got a great band, a great administration at Karaka, and, you know, they paying the price, you know, and they're getting the good results in that. Ardmore Marist, of course, on the resurgence as well. And, you know, they've got some very strong administrators out there, good pool of players. What we are seeing, though, as well, is we are seeing quite a transient populace of, I'd say, of the fringe NPC players that are rotating between Auckland and counties. And really, that's not healthy because it does nothing for your club competition and does very little for your NPC sides as well. And, you know, it's a shame to see some of those clubs in the Papakura Menu area especially, who have always been, you know, I can go back to the great years of the Dickies and when you know, Manurewa, you know, were Bruce McLeod, they were just about unstoppable. But how much it's all changed. And Waiuku, of course, as well, and another club that's sort of gone down and into another division now. So it's just becoming, it's exceptionally challenging in the counties area, well, in all areas, but it is, they've got to address some of these blowouts because you're right, there's going to be two big blowouts today for sure. And the other matches could be pretty keenly contested, although you would think Karaka would be favourites, whoever they play in counties.
Well, Seminar Balmaris at the moment, so I would agree. I think Karaka just edged out Pukekohe. Padamahoe, as we know, our old mate Dale Budge, the old, we call him the Brad Pitt of Padamahoe, versus Ardmore Marist. Ardmore Marist have been very strong this year. This one's a close one. I will probably just edge it to Padamahoe because I still want to keep on speaking terms with old Budgie.
Well, Ardmore Marist have recruited very well this year. We know that firsthand.
yeah, we certainly do. No more needs to be said. Yes.
They have recruited very, very strongly down there. Roger Glendinning and co have done a great job, and Ardmore Marist are giving them the due rewards.
Absolutely. Okay, so we go to Auckland's Women's Premier. I do not know why, how they've done the splitting, but we've got a pool A, pool B, but it's not making sense to me. So pool A, Massikemu versus Ponsonby. And now this one you'll probably is going to be no surprise. I already had it put down as a win, but Mangere will win by default against Papatoe. And, of course, Silverdale versus Marist. It's, you know, I know that we're trying to promote women's rugby, but the reality is a lot of the sides from the lower divisions going up to that first division, it is such a big gap, and we want to keep people involved in rugby.
So what happened after the round robin? Of course, there was withdrawals as well at the round robin stage, and then Auckland Rugby at the end of the round robin decided that they would split into two groups: 1-3-5-7, 2-4-6-8. Now, in the 2-4-6-8 group, then we had another pullout, which affected the Marist side. I'm not just saying because it's Marist. So what it means is that's the last. Our girls haven't played for 2 weeks. They had because of this withdrawal, they had a bye last week. Didn't play the week before because they had a bye from the round robin stage, and now they have two games. They play Silverdale today, and they play College Rivals next week. And then they go into a final stage. Now, what that final stage looks like, I don't know. Ponsonby, of course, would be, you know, it'd be favoured. The three favoured teams, well, two favoured teams, you think, are Ponsonby and College Rivals, and then followed by Marist. But they, with all the money that New Zealand Rugby is putting into the women's game, and the noise that is made from within other aspects relative to the women's game, something seriously has to be looked at because it's not working.
Well, in club rugby, it's not. It's not. And, you know, Auckland, this is the big thing. This is over 3 unions in the Auckland region. That is for Auckland, North Harbour and Counties Manukau. We do have a very good development competition, but the reality is some of those players and some of those teams are not ready to go up. I know that the union does push for them to go up, but at the end of the day is they're doing their clubs no favour and they're doing rugby no favour by doing that, Kevin. That is my thoughts on them.
Well, I think what they need to be looking at for next year as a region-wide competition, and you know they've got to look, even if it means there's some less teams, so to speak, but an amalgamation to make stronger women's teams in a premier grade. They need to do so, even if it's only 8 to 10 teams. But if they combine a couple of those, let's say North Harbour Premier Development sides into a Premier side, same in Auckland, same in counties, they might have a chance to have an 8 to 10 competitive women's Premier competition. But until they do some decisive action, that's just not going to happen.
Absolutely, Kevin. Well, we better get to the men's division. As Stephen and I always do, we leave our two teams to last. So we start off Suburbs versus Ponsonby, College Rifles versus Waitemata, University versus Manukau. So the first one, well, I think that's fairly easy, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be a big win to Ponsonby. They'll be far too strong for Suburbs. And as well, the next one, College Rivals v Waitemata. Waitemata, of course, sitting at the bottom of the competition. You know, you think back of those wonderful years of Waitemata and now seeing the struggles that they're going through. It's tragic to see, really, but one would think that College Rivals will account for that pretty convincingly.
And University versus Manukau. Manukau much improved this year, but I think vastly.
Very much improved. You know, Marist last week had a pretty tight encounter with Manukau running out. Well, it was 29-22, the final score to Marist at home at Mount Wellington. And that was a really very tight tussle. And Manukau have improved game by game, no doubt about that.
And then we come to our two teams. So I'm going to start off with my team, and I'm going to give you the last word on your team. Eden versus Pakeranga. We went down to we had valiant performance against College Rifles, just a few silly mistakes. Hopefully we can eliminate this and at least give Pakeranga a decent go, because, you know, I think it's just so that our guys can gain confidence. As we know, we're at Eden, we are very much destined towards the Patola Cup competition, so it's about getting confidence.
Yeah, but in fairness to that, if you take this is a big game for Pakeranga, because as well, one of the big things with the way how the shortened competition is, you want to get a home game quarter final match. Remembering 1 and 2, of course, get a bye in week one, and three plays four, three plays. Six on a home game and four plays five on a home game. So, you know, Pakeranga, of course, will be vying to try and get a home quarter final match next week, as, of course, will affect greatly with the Marist Grammar game as well, because after Marist losing last week, going down last week to Ponsonby in a pretty good battle, you know, today's game against Grammar could see, and of course Grammar leading the competition, playing for the Joe Brennan Memorial Trophy today, a traditional match between the two clubs. It could drastically, in fact, affect Marist's position on the ladder and enhance Pakeranga's position on the ladder.
Absolutely, and of course, we speak about G-Tech versus Marist. I'm going to say this right now. I will say this, that I really hope Marist win. I really hope Marist win. I've got nothing against Grammar, but I really hope Marist win.
Well, of course, you don't have to ask me what result I want to see, but, you know, we do, you know. But one has to accept the realisation that this is a side that beat Ponsonby last week. A big win over Ponsonby to take the unbeaten record away from them. So, you know, Grammar are an informed side in the round robin competition, and they, you know, a win over Marist today would set them see them win the first round, of course, and win the Alan McAvoy Trophy. So, you know, Grammar have got a lot to play for. They have been close over recent years, but haven't been able to topple, you know, the juggernaut of Western Springs in their blue and black jumpers. But they did that last week, and Grammar are looking very strong.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it at that, Kevin. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I may not be able to make mass next week when Marist play Eden, because I've got a show. And so if you can pass on my condolences to my apologies to Father Summage on that one.
Well, of course, we do play for a trophy next week when we play Eden.
Yes, yes, the O'Hanlon's Sullivan Trophy and O'Sullivan Trophy, and of course, two very great characters of both clubs.
And of course, which Eden hold at present.
Well, we do, but, I might have to have a word to, one of the local fathers down in Balmoral and just say, can you just put an extra prayer for us? On that note,
okay, mate.
Take care, mate. Bye. Cheers.
Bye. Bye.
Kevin Oakland, good, brilliant, brilliant. Always a sensei humour of Kevin. Anyway, next up we go to the old green machine, Joey Green, as we talk rugby league.
That's the bottom line. Yeah, you have a lot of fun, don't you? And living with you is a ball of a time. Hey, beauty, when the mood gets you down, you bottom lips here dragging on the ground. That's when I gotta play the clown for you. Black humor made you kick your boots. Howdy, angel.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend, and just before we go to our next guest, the old green machine, Joey Green, weekend missions sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat station, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants all happy with a water smart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. So check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Thank you very much, Andrew Olsen from Watersmart, here to join us as we talk a bit of rugby league. The green machine himself, Joey Green. Good morning, Joey.
Yeah, morning, mate. Bit of fog out and about could only mean one thing. The Cronulla Sharks are in town to play tonight.
Yeah, well, tell you what, there's going to be a lot of interest in this. Obviously, no James Fisher-Harris, no Leka Harmacena, but there's no Fanua Blake, no Nakora for the Sharks either. So this makes this clash very, very interesting. Obviously, we do not want injuries. This is a crucial time of the year for the Warriors. Is origin time, and this is where they need to make them pay, so that they can keep in touch with Penrith and try and keep within that top four.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't quite realise how much the injury toll was starting to stack up for the Warriors until I was checking just about 10 minutes ago. Obviously, Fisher Harris and Leka Alasima tonight. But then, you remember that Tanner Boyd is also gone for the season. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck gone for the season as well. So there's obviously a few key experienced guys as well missing for the Warriors this afternoon. But on the other hand, you get to see a lot of these young fellas in our system start to get more opportunities now. Tennis Dower Smith gets to start in place of Fisher Harris. A couple of debutants off the bench, which is pretty exciting to see. Makai Tahua, very handy young hooker who plays pretty similar to Sam Healy. So you're probably going to see that same kind of impact in that last 20-25 minutes, hopefully, if the game goes the Warriors' way as well. Kalis Patialofa, a back rower who come out of the De La Salle league system they've had building for the last few years. You also got Jason Salalilo on that extended six-man bench as well, another product out of the St. Thomas of Canterbury system they've got down in Christchurch.
Fantastic really school, good. Joey. Fantastic, my old school, yeah.
Yep, they've got a really good rugby league system going on down there at the moment, and they've also got a partnership with the One New Zealand Warriors at the moment. So Obviously, we're starting to see the fruits of what's been brewing down in Christchurch as of late. But like we've said, Cronulla also missing for Noah Blake and Britton Neacord with Origin. Blake Braley and Nico Hines out with injury as well. And a lot of those guys are the key guys who, when their thighs last met, you know, those were the danger guys. Blake Braley, obviously, in you know, Origin Game 1, and we won't see him for a wee while. But Braden Trindle is still in the side. They've still got Kale Little coming back into the side. Ronaldo Mulitalo is back into the team as well. And that was where they found a lot of success when they played at Shark Park, was down that left-hand side of Cronulla. And although we'll see a different right-hand or right-edge combination for the Warriors this weekend in Laiatawa and Watene Zalesniak, as long as that edge can defend quite well and they don't give the likes of Braden Trindle and Nephi Puru the chance to attack how Cronulla want to attack, then I think we should be seeing a pretty confident Warriors side find a victory this afternoon.
Absolutely. Anyway, we talk last night's match, Thursday night, Rabbitohs 48, Broncos 6, Alec Johnson 4 tries, but a bit of devastating news for the Broncos. Reynolds and Mann have suffered some quite serious injuries.
Yeah, look, if you're Fantasy here, I think that pre-game ceremony that that the Rabbitohs put on for Joey Arrow was a pretty special one to watch. You know, I think as everyone kind of knows in the rugby league community now, and with Joey Arrow and motor neurone disease, obviously not something that we want to see for such a battler of the game, and one regardless, a player who, regardless of what jersey he put on, always managed to give 110%. And I think South Sydney just managed to lift to the occasion a little bit better than Brisbane did. I don't think we quite expected Brisbane to not come out, you know, for the better like they did. And like you said, Alex Johnson walking away with another 4 tries to his record tally, but, you know, a lot of question marks saying to you know, be raised around Brisbane now. Are they? Can you write them off with a top 8 finish? Is it even worth putting Adam Reynolds back into that 7 jersey for the rest of the year? Do they start to look at Ben Hunt? Do they give the keys to Tom Duffy? You know, where to for Michael Maguire for the back half of the season?
Absolutely. Then we look at Friday night's match. Dolphins 48, Roosters 10. You know what? The Dolphins remind me so much of the Warriors. And I mean, like, with the formation, they're winning games, which they should win, but they're winning well. The halves combination of Katoa and Nikarima, they were on fire.
Yeah, exactly. And for those Roosters fans, like, when you look at the team list that they managed to put out last night, I don't think you can quite be disappointed, because obviously there's a lot of injuries going through a club at the moment. You got your key players out with Origin as well. Got like Reece Foley putting out a centre. Who's not a traditional centre. Egan Butcher, originally named in the centre as well, but didn't play there. You still pick up injuries through the game as well to Hugo Savala. So you've got a lot of key guys missing. But then you look to the Dolphins on the other hand. Since they've played the Warriors and Anzac Day, they've managed to basically win every game since then. So they're starting to build really, really nicely and sneak up on everybody now. 6 wins in a row for Christian Wolfe and the Dolphins side. So do you start looking at the Dolphins as a bit of a threat for the top four come the back end of the season?
Absolutely. Then we move on to the games. Because of Origin, shortened round, Eels versus Raiders, Tigers versus Titans. The first one, the Eels versus the Raiders. The Raiders are finding a little bit of form.
Yeah, the Raiders are a bit of a tricky side, and so are Parramatta as well. Parramatta always one of those sides who, whilst they sit 16th on the ladder at the moment, they always like to challenge a few sides. They're, you know, 3 losses in a row for the Eels. But you look at those last 2 losses, that the Monday night footy last weekend, they only lost by 2 points. The week before that, they only lost to Newcastle by 6 points. So we know they've got the capable footy in them, but they've just got to be able to make the most of their opportunities. And hopefully they can do it at home this week against the Raiders, who, are probably a shadow of what they are last year. They're sitting in 13th on the ladder at the moment, nowhere near where they should be. And it probably started to feel the effect of letting go of someone like Jamal Fogarty, who was that little bit more experienced halfback compared to someone like Ethan Sanders, who was basically playing his first full season in the NRL. So when you start to add in factors like that, I think we might be looking at a Parramatta, but a very close win for the Eels tonight.
Absolutely. Anyway, we move on to Auckland Rugby League and we go to the Fox Memorial Men's Premiership. Bay Roskill versus Point Chev, Mount Albert versus Otahuhu, Manukau versus Papakura in a Southern Derby, and Marist Saints versus Ponsonby. So we go to the first one, Bay Roskill versus Point Chev. But I got a bit of a touch-up against Manukau, and of course Point Chev, it's been an indifferent season. Who are you picking there, Joey?
Yeah, very indifferent season for Point Chev and Bay Roskill as well, who started off the season with a hiss and a roar. And now that we're back to the start of the draw in some shape or form, Point Chev, especially at Blockhouse Bay, it's not an easy place to go to, but I think it's going to be a Pirates win, but not by much.
Okay, so in Mount Albert versus Otahuhu all the way.
Yeah, 100%. As much as I'd love to see the Mount Albert boys get a win at home, especially you look at that that Leopards forward pack, the back line, that they just seem to have the complete team at the moment, and no one really looks like they're coming close to that Leopard side. Although Papakura gave them a good run for their money last week, I can't see the Leopards going down this week to the Lions.
Manukau versus Papakura, probably the best match of the round, really.
Oh, easily. A Southside derby at Manukau, another tough place to go to. It's probably not going to be a great field, which suits Manukau and how they want to play. I think they're going to be too hard to beat at home for Papakura, but you never quite know with Papakura. They love to get up for these local derbies. They've got a strong forward pack who won't shy away from a battle through the middle. So they're definitely the match in the round, and it's going to be a bit hard to call, honestly.
Absolutely. Marist versus Saints versus Ponsonby. I think you'd have to go, on form, you'd have to go Ponsonby.
Yeah, like you said, on form, you're looking at the Ponsonby Ponies, but Marist, you know, like we've seen the last few weeks, they've upset Point Chev. They've managed a few close games as well over the last 2 weeks after that win, so they're not an easy beat, but similar to a few other sides, they've had a bit of a wonky season, so whether they can start to find some form over the back end of this competition, because if they want to have any chance of staying in the competition for next year, they're going to have to start finding some victories. Whether it's at home this afternoon, probably not, but Ponsonby is not an easy side to play.
Absolutely. So we go to the Steel Shanks Women's Premiership. Mount Albert versus Manukau, Mangere East versus Richmond, Otahuhu versus Mangerewa. Just hope we can get through those just quickly.
Yeah, the first one, Mount Albert versus Manukau, a couple of sides who are similar to the Fox Memorial, a few in different seasons. Mount Albert on their day can mix it with the Otahus and the Mangerewas of this competition, but they've just got to start to find it consistently, and I don't think it'll get easier this afternoon against Manukau. But we've seen stranger things happen in the Steel Shanks Premiership this year. Mangere East taking on Richmond. Again, like I just touched on, these games could go either way, to be fair. You never really quite know how these games are going to front up. A very experienced side in Richmond taking on a very young side of Mangere East. And I think Mangere East will find the 2 points in that one at home too. And then the battle of the south side, Otahuhu versus Manurewa, a very experienced side in Otahuhu, like we said, and another experienced side of Manurewa as well. But I'm thinking the Otahuhu side at home is probably going to be too tough for Manurewa to stop.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, thank you so much, and we will catch up at the same place, same time next week.
Always a pleasure, mate. Same time again next week.
Catch you later, mate. Cheers. That was Joey Green, the old green machine, as we call him. Next up, we're going to do the week that was and the weekend ahead with Matt Buck.
Mm-hmm. today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the house of law. I saw a film today. Boy, the English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look.
Good. Welcome back to the Sports Weekender. And just before we go any further, this segment is brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment branches nationwide. Finding the right people can be hard and many unexpected surprises. So cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment. They will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So email enterprise.co.nz and find the right person. And here to join us is a broadcaster, Matt Buck, as we look at the week that was and the weekend ahead. And how are you, Matt?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eamon. Yourself?
Good. Now, we're gonna kick it off because I got a text late at night to confirm that Kane Williamson had retired. There'd been inklings during the week, but his retirement is effective of now. I look at the timing of it, probably really caught a lot of media off guard because there's been a lot of talk about the FIFA World Cup, Super Rugby playoffs, the Warriors in the NRL. But I have to say he has left on his own terms, which I think is admirable. And I think when we look back at Kane Williamson, you know, we will look at, you know, you look at the great New Zealand cricket players as Richard Hadlee, Martin Crowe and Kane Williamson. He is part of that. He has not only been a brilliant player, a good captain, he captained us to the inaugural World Test Championship. Just your thoughts on this announcement, Matt.
Yeah, look, it did come as a surprise. I think that the key for me is in the comms game, it's called putting out the rubbish, I suppose, which means you try and slip it out there when a lot of, as you said, a lot of other things are going on. But he has retired on his own terms, and I think there's as you say, he's one of our top cricketers. I mean, any test team, probably any one day team that's named for a New Zealand 11 of all time, he is your number three batsman, no doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, you could probably also throw Ross Taylor in there, you know, as a great cricketer. But Williamson's record is super. He just didn't add large. He just looked, I wouldn't say, you can never say uninterested, but he just he didn't look himself. He's had a few injuries. He's playing a bit more T20 cricket. It's the way the world's going. And good on him. You can only pay him the respect he deserves. I just thought it would have been nice if he had played one or maybe finished this series off. I thought he might have gone to Australia at the end of the year, but not to be. He's finished and done, so they've got to find a new number three batsman. I think Will Young's waiting in the wings, maybe, and we'll move on. It happens, players retire, and you've just got to tip your hat to Williamson. He's been a fantastic cricketer and a servant of New Zealand cricket for a long time.
And one thing I do have to say is what he has done is like when we had Tim Selvey's retirement, it was like this. Yep. Tim Selvey retirement tour, yep. When reality was Tim probably didn't really deserve his place in the team. There were better players that were on form, and it became really at the end of the day was Tim Selvey was a great player, but I think Kane wants to walk out. He wants to walk out on his own terms, Matt, and I think what he's done is he's probably thought, you know, he didn't look happy last season. He didn't look,
no.
It looked like he'd probably lost the passion of playing for his country, and everyone can say, oh, that's terrible, but the guy has given so much and he deserves the respect, all the accolades and the respect.
Yeah, he's a very unassuming character. I mean, you've seen him score massive hundreds, and he just comes into the media centre and says, "Oh, it's because of the other." Never put any onus on himself. You're right. Some of these farewell tours go for far too long. Ricky Pontings was a sad one. I remember he was terribly out of form, but he kept on saying, "This will be my last test," and he was falling over and doing, you know, and it was just it just wasn't good. So, I just think Williamson's done it on his own terms, and I think that's fantastic.
Anyway, obviously last weekend, we will, obviously the Canes look very much informed as before they take on the Blues, the Crusaders look good. So we know about that. Then I'll go on Sunday, All Whites versus England. Did you get a chance to watch that game? I know it looked more like a glorified training run for England, but there were some good things that came out of that.
We don't play England a lot. It was a game that I would expect the New Zealand team to get up for. They gave it their best. I mean, it just turned into a bit of a farce for me when England changed their whole team at halftime. I thought that was disappointing. But, yeah, hot conditions, water breaks, World Cup warm-up. I was impressed after the Haiti performance. So I watched probably 30 minutes of it. We don't look out of place, but our major concern, as everyone knows, is we just can't score goals. So yeah. I was just talking to someone this morning about how we should play at this World Cup, and I wonder whether it's more of the old style New Zealand football, play it long and hope for the best, instead of trying to play all this football and turning the ball over. So I'll be really interested to see how they play it when they kick off on Tuesday. But yeah, it's always good to play England. I think someone told me England were playing New Zealand a cricket test and a football game for the first time ever at the same time. So that's pretty cool, and I'm sure the players enjoyed it.
And then, of course, on that Sunday night, Monday morning, Liam Lawson. Now, the decision has been overturned, but as was confirmed Monday morning, he finished fifth in the Monaco Grand Prix. Unfortunately, it has been turned over, so he drops one place to sixth. But what a good drive by Liam Lawson.
Yeah, look, Lawson continues to improve. I mean, it's all, as I say, in Formula One, it's all about the car. I was worried with Lawson when he first made it. Every press conference, he seemed to make excuses about his driving or the car. I think he's probably settled now into Formula One a bit more and has matured, as they say, and will take the good with the bad. So I expect these results to, if he can get in the right car, he's a very, very good driver. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a good result for a New Zealand driver. I mean, We do punch above our weight in a lot of sports, in particularly motor racing. We've got great drivers all over the world in different formats. So, yeah, good luck to him. Had a few gear problems, I think, this morning. But we'll see how he goes in this Grand Prix coming up.
I think it's just his consistency that's really impressed me this year. I think it's he's beginning to handle that car. He makes the odd mistake, but the more top tens he gets, the more he gets recognised on that. Listen, during the week, this caught my attention, Matt. The story of Cain Evans, the former Warriors player. Guy basically came out, he said he's gay, which, hey, good on him for coming out. That's brave and what is considered a very male-dominated macho sports, but some of his struggles with addiction, some of his struggles with mental health, it's in many respects he's slowly getting there, but you know it concerns me that we see this a lot in rugby league, and I've heard some horror stories of some guys that have played rugby union. I won't mention their names, and you hear it all the time.
It's just sad, mate. It's
bloody sad.
That they have to come out to this level because it's not right. It's not the right thing to do when you're playing a sport like rugby league or rugby in a male game when players are gay. I mean, it's just, well, that's how the public perceives it, or that's how the person perceives it. Yeah. As most of the time, like, when I read the story, it was, to me, it was more like, not who cares, it's sad about what he went through, but good on him, but who actually should care these days whether, you know, who he sleeps with and what he gets up to. So it's still sad that we live in that culture, or there's a lot of good work being done in that space. I know it's very, I look at the Phoenix women's team, they're very proud of who they are and what they're about, and I just think it would be nice if the male culture sports, and again, you go back to rugby and rugby league, that it's not after the fact, if you know what I mean. Like, so if a player's gay and he gets selected for the All Blacks, good luck to him, you know. Now, if people decide to treat him poorly, that is absolutely disgusting. So, yeah, it's very sad. It's very sad for my life, for me, that someone has to go through all those troubles, and then once he finishes playing, can come out and say, oh, I'm gay. A bit like what Ian Roberts went through. It's just downright sad.
I think with the story with Ian Roberts was, and I remember speaking to Manly players, that, and they knew that he had a partner, yeah. and they didn't, but it was the public perception at the time in the 90s. Like, as somebody said, are you going to say something homophobic to Ian Roberts? Because they'll say to you, good luck, because you may not be standing for it for a while.
Well, a good guy I knew well, and I had some mates playing in the Wellington cricket team with Heath Davis, and yeah. they all knew he was a bit different. They, you know, the Raven, they called him, well, they said he was stark raving mad, and they called him the Raven, but he was a guy, like, you know, it was known, and the players just said, when he came up to the players and said, oh, just like to tell you something, they all said, oh, yeah, really, we knew, and just moved on, let's have another beer, you know, yeah. So... it is what it is. I mean, let's just move on this day and age and
absolutely,
let them be what they want to be. But if they're good rugby players or good rugby league players, good luck to them, you know?
Yeah.
It gets me annoyed. It gets me very, very annoyed when I had to read those stories about the heartache they go through, those guys.
Absolutely. Tony Brown coming back to New Zealand rugby in 2008. 2028.
Yeah. Another media release again, like, which... You sort of went on socials and had, when you woke up in the morning, check your phone, and it was there, and it was like, really? Oh, this is all a bit... I thought at first it was a bit of AI play, but no, he's coming back. It's a great signing. I suppose he sees a World Cup opportunity with South Africa, a winning World Cup opportunity with South Africa. And it's just interesting that I wonder whether he realises now that Jamie Joseph's applied a couple of times for the job, hasn't got it, and he's, you know, his time's probably running out. To get the top job. I mean, Dave Rennie, I think, could be there for 3, 4, 5 years. So Brown's put his own ticket in and said, yeah, I'll come and join whoever the coach is. And I think it's a great signing by New Zealand Rugby, and it's probably very, very well overdue.
And I know he's very loyal to Jamie Joseph, but at the end of the day, as the guy's a professional coach, he coaches probably with the best rugby coach in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think... With Erasmus, I think he's going to learn so much. He's got his own certain way of coaching, Rassie, and we know he loves the mind games and all that, and I think he'll learn all that, and he can bring that back to the New Zealand environment.
Absolutely. Then, of course, World Cup started, Mexico beating South Africa, Korea, God, that was a cracking game, beating the Czech Republic. A couple of games this morning, one all draw between Bosnia and Canada. But then also we had Super Rugby semi-finals. Now, I know that you will not have a tear in your eyes for those Cantabrians, Matt, because you never have. You're a Wellingtonian. But the Chiefs were, that was the best 40 minutes I've seen of any team this year.
Yeah, that's if you can put 40 minutes like that together in a semi-final, you're doing very well. I've got a couple of comments about this. I saw a pretty good performance last week by the Hurricanes, up close and personal. And I mean, you could say for 40 minutes, over a period in that game, they performed like the Chiefs did last night. The concern I've got is the state of the competition. I mean, I said probably from 5 to 6 weeks out, we've got two teams in this competition and there's daylight. I could be wrong tonight when they play the Blues, the Hurricanes, but you saw a Chiefs team that qualified second. Gibbs had the right to rest players. McKenzie's had due to a head knock, had a workload that hasn't been that tough. The ability to bring Leroy Carter and Natira Coy off the bench, these sort of guys. And be able to pull guys early. Again, the perfect semi-final performance. I don't have any sympathy for the Crusaders. I have sympathy for Rob Penny, the way he's been treated, because Rob Penny is generally a very, very nice man. But I think their time had come, and unfortunately going out like that was tough. So, yeah, no sympathy, but it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight at Henry Stadium.
Anyway, then we go to Henry Stadium. A big, big, big weekend for the Hurricanes. Really, I'm picking that, you know, in Hamilton, I'm picking a major upset in the Blues. No, I'm not. I think the Canes are the finished articles, and I have to be straight to the point here. They are the finished article. And I also believe that what we will also have is that we've also got the Warriors playing the Sharks at the same time.
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of people this morning who said depending on how the Hurricanes game goes, hopefully they'll play, so they'll watch that for half an hour and then switch over to the Warriors. So Warriors are the hottest ticket in town. Go back to my point about the Super Rugby competition. It's been a two-team comp for about the last 7 weeks. Look, there's a lot of people. Jono Gibbs in his press conference last night said that he looks forward to going to Wellington next week, as blatant as that. And when asked to confirm that, he said he just can't see the Hurricanes getting beaten. So there's a lot of people. I'm down at one of the sporting fields in Wellington today watching my kid play football, and there's a lot of people saying we're going along tonight. So it's not about 25,000 seats, which is good, and I expect the Hurricanes to win well, but you never know, do you, in sport? It's a two-horse race. The Hurricanes should win, and I think they will win, but we've seen bigger upsets over our lifetime, Eamon, on sport, haven't we?
Yeah, and of course the Warriors. Well, I think that one's going to be a lot closer than we expect.
Yeah, the Warriors are back at home for the first time in a long time. They sort of get that gyp draw where they have to play the game in Brisbane in that round, super round, and it's all whatever it's called, and gallery, whatever it's called, and they talk about it as a home game for the Warriors. So good to be back home. Few injuries, bit banged up. You just hope they played really well against Penrith and lost, but I thought they were really competitive. Again, I think they need to believe they're right in amongst them in this competition, and when the whips are cracking in September, early October, they should be right there. So you know, back at home it'll be a full house, a few people I know flying up from Wellington, so I expect the Warriors to win and win well.
Anyway, also the Won't Ferns start their campaign, Liam Lawson in the and the Barcelona Formula 1.
Yeah, do you give the, I haven't really caught up with this stuff, but do you give the White Ferns any chance in this competition? They've been pretty poor. I mean, they snuck that 2020 World Cup a couple of years ago. There seems to be a 2020 World Cup every week, doesn't there? but I just can't see them. I think in Bates and a couple of others, they should have probably tried to get their team, a younger squad, going over the last couple of years. They haven't decided to do that. So it's the last chance for these teams, this squad. And they got off to a good start in the tournament, but I just wonder whether they'll be there when the whips are cracking at the pointy end of the tournament.
Anyway, well, Kat, thank you so much for filling in today, Matt, and we will catch up again and very, very soon, and have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for your time. Goodbye.
And go the Blues. He's hung up pretty quickly. Anyway, and so just before I go any further, we just had next segment with Seamus Martin is brought to you by Team Thompson. If you're looking to buy, looking to sell, you're looking to get on this property market, operating out of the Barford and Thompson's office in Epsom branch is Robert and Deborah Thompson. Two very good friends of mine, and I'm being biased here, but two very good professionals. They will give you the best advice. They will get you the best results, and they are both good sorts. And I can say that right now. Rob, I hope everything's all cool, mate. This is Robert's number. It's 021-737-949, and his email's r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. And if you can't get hold of Robert, Deborah's always around. So her number is 021-673-600, d.thompson@barfords.co.nz. So thanks for your support, guys. Anyway, let's get to the interview with Seamus from the All Whites camp. Well, we go to America now, and he's our football correspondent, and he's well known around New Zealand. Just runs this little small podcast called Between Two Bears with his mate Steve Holloway. At the moment, he's doing a podcast for TVNZ called Between Two Posts. It's a pleasure to have, live from the USA, Seamus Martin. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning or good afternoon as we are up here in San Diego. Half time of the, half time of match day two, but the tournament has kicked off. It was wonderful to take in the Mexico versus South Africa game and catch the Korea versus Czech Republic game.
Oh, yeah.
It's good that this tournament is up and running.
It is, and I have to say that Czech Republic game, that was a hell of a good game.
Yeah, it was. I actually tipped a draw in that match. Unfortunately for me, it didn't come through. Korea Republic doing the job. Good equaliser. Really well taken goal. We watched that in a sports bar up here, which was an experience, I'll tell you.
Oh, they certainly do. They are, American sports bars are great. I have to say, just one thing. I hope that you are not doing any picks on between two posts. As your record in picking games hasn't been too good, we won't mention the EPL. But anyway, we get to the All Whites versus Iran. And you've been inside the All Whites camp as much as you can. Obviously, we look at what they're going to play, formations. What are you expecting out of the formation they're going to play?
Yeah, a couple of days ago, Darren
Seamus
for San Diego, and he ran it as 3 15-minute mini-matches almost, really shuffled the team up, so you couldn't really get a good look at how they were going to line up. But you did start to see little pockets and little groups, so I really like the combination of Chris Wood, Elijah Just, Sarpreet Singh and Jesse Randall, as we saw line up in the game against England. You had Joe Bell and Marco Stamenic partnering up in the opposite midfield. The back four was interesting. Tommy Smith started in what you thought might be a shadow 11. I think definitely formation-wise, Darren Bazey's looking at a 4-2-3-1. So three attacking midfielders supporting Chris Wood up front, two holding midfielders playing in front of a back four, and likely to want to get those fullbacks pushing forward. I expect to see Liberato Kakachi playing and starting at left back. I do think there's a bit of an arm wrestle on that right back side, yes, between Tim Payne and Callan Elliott, and I'll put a third name in there, Tyler Bindon as well. He was the first one to snap into a challenge at that practice game. The word from Darren was for the players to put their best foot forward and really push themselves to make that first 11 against Iran coming up early next week. And he set a marker out early. I think it was in the first sort of 5 minutes, ripped into a challenge, and from there everything was all on. So it was a really good hit out, good 45 minute hit out in front of 1500 fans. Good to see Ryan Thomas got some good minutes in the final third, scored a goal, set up another goal for Chris Wood. I don't know whether the players even know what the formation is going to be. I think there is an internal meeting today where the 11 will be named, and you're probably able to tell around the hotel, maybe with the body language tomorrow, who will.
Seamus?
It's really interesting.
Yeah, Seamus, we keep on just going into some pockets there. But yeah, just the feeling inside the camp, is there a really good feeling among this group of All Whites?
Yeah, there is. It's a relaxed feel. It was described to us yesterday by Simon Elliott as quite a Kiwi camp. So, it's a great place to be in San Diego. So it's not high pressure. I'm sure the players are starting to feel the pressure the closer we get to the game. But in terms of the lobby on the regular basis, and it's a really nice feel to it. So look, there isn't too much tension in the air, but I'm sure that'll ramp up as they get closer to that Iran game.
I think it will, and you know my opinion, obviously you probably suspected what I thought would be the formation. My preference would be, and this is personally only my opinion, I wouldn't mind seeing a 4-4-2, and the reason being is whether it be a Barbarousis, Wayne or a Randall to work off Chris Wood, because he will be probably man-marked against, the Iranians will man-mark them. Now, the opposition, Iran, they've had a bit of it. They haven't had the best build-up, and this World Cup has brought up a lot of stuff, as we've seen in the last 48 hours. Iran, who's the player we should be aware looking at from a New Zealand perspective?
I think with the strength of the Iranian team isn't so much the individual. I think it's the collective. It's the team. I think if you look at the mentality that Iran are going to be taking into this game, if they're going to prove a point in terms of a wider context, a political point, what better way than to perform on the biggest stage in the world? You're right. They've had a really difficult preparation for this competition. They're being forced to move their training camp from Tucson, Arizona, to Tijuana, which is about an hour down the road from where where we are in San Diego. They're only going to arrive in America for the game on the day of the game, flying in, playing the match, and then flying out again, Los Angeles Stadium, very close to LAX International Airport. So, you know, look, the odds are stacked against them. I think from a New Zealand perspective, it isn't going to be a case, as it might be from Iran's perspective, of shutting down a Chris Wood. I don't think we have that luxury. I don't think New Zealand has the luxury of shutting down one player. I think they're a really, really accomplished team, and maybe that fact is being lost on a few people.
Yes.
You know, ranked 20th in the world. They are the second highest ranked opponent in New Zealand's group behind Belgium, who are 10th. So, look, this is a really, really strong unit. The advantage I think that we have is that they haven't been playing internationally. No warm-up matches as such. They've only been playing domestically. So there might be an opportunity. One of their talismen, and his name escapes me now, but one of their strikers was left out of the squad for non-football reasons. Read between the lines what you will about what perhaps he's been posting on his own social media. But he wasn't selected in this final squad, and that's a silver lining for this New Zealand team.
Yes, it should be an interesting match. And, you know, when you look at it, I think the country, like the countries in New Zealand, we're really getting into the World Cup. It started, everyone's enthusiastic, but come Tuesday, I suspect there will be a lot of eyes in this country on this game. There'll be a lot of people, all of a sudden catch the flu on Tuesday here in New Zealand. And so that they can watch them out. And mysteriously be found in their local pub cheering the All Whites on.
Well, look, it's a good time zone, isn't it, for some of these matches back home in New Zealand. It's phenomenal here in North America, the timing of these games. It's lunchtime kickoffs and an early evening kickoff, so there's definitely a healthy appetite of football that you can take in over here for sure.
Absolutely. Wow, we better go to... Well, I've loved the tournament. There are some cracking matches. Looking forward to that Brazil-Morocco match. I think that could be one of the highlights of the weekend. And, of course, the Scottish fans, who some of them are giving me a bit of jib because I've called Scotland versus Haiti a potential draw. So, you know, it's obviously my job at the UN is on hold at this time.
Yeah, look. We're also having our own little tipping competition. I've tipped Scotland to beat Haiti tomorrow. Stephen's tipped Brazil to beat Morocco. I've got Canada as my team today to win that game against Bosnia, and Stephen's back in the United States to beat Paraguay.
Yeah, well, I'd pick the United States. I've actually picked a lot of draws in this, but as I said, it wouldn't be me without a sitting on the fence moment. Okay, just here in New Zealand, we have the Chatham Cup. And basically, while the Chatham Cup is our national cup, I am not going to go through the whole of New Zealand because I think we've only got certain time. But what I am going to do is, what we are going to do is, we're going to speak about the games in the northern region. So we have Takapuna versus Waiheke, South Auckland Rangers versus University of Auckland, Auckland United versus Hamilton Wanderers, and Cambridge versus Northern Rovers. We'll get to the other three matches in the moment. Your thoughts, Seamus?
Look, I really like Waiheke United in the FA Cup, in the Chatham Cup. You know, that team is able to come together. There is less restrictions on eligibility of players in the Cup versus the league. So I'm going to tip Waiheke United to beat Takapuna in that game. I think South Auckland Rangers versus University of Auckland, that goes in favour of South Auckland Rangers. I think whoever wins that game, everybody that wins this round will be looking forward to the winner of that too, because that on paper looks like the weakest tie of the round of round three. Auckland United for me to beat Hamilton Wanderers, and I think Cambridge versus Northern Rovers, I'm going to say Cambridge by home advantage, but that one will be won on penalties.
Absolutely. Then we go to, and these are three crackers, and a local derby close to your heart, so we start off Auckland City versus East Coast Bays. Then we have your mob Melville taking on Ngarra Wahiha, and Birkenhead United versus Fencibles.
Yeah, look, that Auckland City versus East Coast Bays game is interesting, isn't it? Two Northern League sides, both in really good to tie the round for me. I think Auckland City shade that just by virtue of being at home. I think the same thing for Melville United versus Ngāruawhia United. Ngāruawhia are flying at the moment. They haven't been beaten in their league, but just the step up to playing against a Northern League side, I think, might be a difficult one for the Green Machine, so I'm going to back my Melville United for that one. I've got West Coast Rangers and Hibiscus Coast as well as another game in the Chatham Cup Northern section. I think West Coast Rangers win that one, although Hibiscus Coast have been giant killers in this competition in the past. And Birkenhead United versus Fencibles, again, two Northern League clubs. It's an all Northern League tie. But I think Birkenhead win that one and are the favourites for the cup.
Then we go to the women's competition, the Kate Shepherd Cup, and these are the games in the northern region. We have Ellerslie versus Birkenhead. We have Onehunga Sports versus Auckland United. Eastern Suburbs versus Fencibles. And Franklin United versus Western Springs.
We've got Ellerslie and Birkenhead is another game that that features in this round of Northern. So, you know, for me, I think Ellerslie win that one. I think these really go in favour of the Northern Premier League clubs. I just think there's too big a gap, even in the Northern Premier League, between them and the Championship side. So, look, I pick Ellerslie to beat Birkenhead. Auckland United to beat Onehunga Sports. That's a bit of a local derby. There'll be a bit of needle in that one. Eastern Suburbs, I think they will beat Fencibles United. And while Western Springs are struggling in the Women's Premier League, I think they'll be too strong for Franklin United. But if I was going to tip an upset, it would be that tie, I think, where Franklin might be able to tip over Western Springs.
Absolutely. So far in America, you've had have you met many former All-Whites there at all, or...?
No, we haven't bumped into anyone. The team has almost been left to their own devices down here in San Diego. No, Ryan Nelson and Tim Brown are speaking at an event in Los Angeles the day before the game. I really think this World Cup for New Zealanders will come to life when the team moves to Vancouver. Mm. I think a lot of the friends and family, I think a lot of former All-Whites as well, are just a little bit deterred by the situation here in the US, a little bit of the uncertainty. The team itself, you know, San Diego isn't a World Cup venue for matches, so, you know, there's not too much else here. If you're going to be here, you're going to be here purely to be with the All-Whites, and I think there's just so much going on that there are other opportunities. There has been one famous New Zealander that's poked his nose in. That was on the afternoon that we arrived, which is Shane van Gisbergen.
Met
the All-Whites team and was able to share some of his experiences in America. Invited them down to a race if they're still around, but I'm not sure that's the opportunity. And I do know a few of them who managed to get out on the golf course with Ryan Fox when they were over in Florida as well, which was a great experience. So, no, look, it's business time at the moment for this team. They've had a training session ready this morning. They'll go in and have another two sessions before they move over to Los Angeles, 2 hours up the road the night before the game. And then it's all systems go on Monday afternoon here, USA time, Tuesday back home.
Absolutely, and I think it's going to be probably... this is probably one of the most important games in New Zealand football. Many are calling it probably a history-making game.
Yeah, I really think it is. You know, they're, if you look at, you know, New Zealand's never won a game on the world stage. If ever there was a time to get that 3 points, I think this is the best possible opportunity. Speaking with the players that are in and around the camp, they're certainly targeting this game and looking no further than this game against Iran. There's no talk about Egypt or Belgium. At the moment, all focus is on Iran and that game at Los Angeles.
Absolutely. Well, Seamus, you're doing some great stuff over there. I've been able to keep up with your progress. Bit concerned about these tipping competitions. I know a certain Robert Thompson who is really looking forward to this game on Tuesday will probably have a few remarks to make about Seamus's tipping. So I hope it goes well and we will catch up next Saturday and go the All Whites for Tuesday.
Yeah, look, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Hopefully the internet, we've had some real struggles around San Diego with the internet connection, so hopefully it hasn't been too difficult for everyone.
But look, not bad.
The messages from home are, I know the team is hearing them, and it's great to be able to report a little bit back on what we're seeing on the ground here on the show.
Yep, absolutely, and fantastic work that you and Steve are doing. I hope that you can relax. I know that you've got a big interview today, so I better let you get and do some prep work on that, and hopefully we can chat live next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Anna.
Cheers.
And that was Seamus Martin. Yeah, the connection did drop in and drop out, but that's what happens. Fortunately, as Seamus just said, he said they've just have had some, obviously the internet connection is possibly not the best. Anyway, next up, we speak with Lee Piper as we look at the final round of the ANZ Premiership. So let's get to that right now.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. He's on his way to Australia, and I caught up with him last night, and yes, I did have my hand in my pocket, the one and only mouth of the South, Lee Piper, as we talk a bit of ANZ netball. G'day, Lee.
Well, you had your hand in your pocket, and that's pretty much where it stayed, in the pocket. I don't really even came out of the pocket with any kind of money.
I shattered the first round. I've got people that can verify that. I have people that can verify that I'm not a cheapskate. And I'm quite happy you haven't, after the abuse I've had on Facebook with you all week about a certain photo I revealed of myself 25 years ago.
Looked like it was 40 years ago, but yep, I'm aware of the photo.
Yeah.
You know, aware of you spouting on about your own defence and how great you were. That's not what I hear.
Oh, anyway. Well, you need to get a reliable sources. Anyway, enough of our rubbish. We come into the final week of the ANZ Netball Premiership, and obviously, probably one game that's really going to count for nothing, the Stars and the Pulse, probably be where you stand on there, but we have two important games. On Saturday, we have the Mystics playing the Magic, and on Sunday, and this is where the game becomes critical for both teams, it's really for their home advantage, or the possibility of a home final, the match between the Steel and the Tactics. So we started off, Lee, the Mystics versus the Magic. You've got to give it to the Mystics on this one.
Yeah, you do. I think just to summarise, it's been a really, really good competition. I thought at the beginning, I honestly thought the Tactics would struggle given the lineup they had and the players that they lost. But they've been, under Donna Wilkins, they've proved to be very, very tough to beat. In fact, I don't think they've lost in Christchurch for something like 18 or 19 games. But even, you know, we saw the Magic take the Steel to extra time in Dunedin. So we've seen the Pulse be very competitive as well. So, yeah, while we're talking about that game, you wouldn't be surprised if the Magic got up. Like, it's been that kind of competition. So I picked the Stars, the Mystics and the Steel to be in the final. I think the Stars will be a wee bit disappointed that they can't make it, and they were quite badly beaten last week. They have lost Nilo Buchanan, who's their star centre, but yeah. Then the Steel have lost Kimmy Poy as well. And so, yeah, it was an interesting game. So, yeah, lots going on. I think for the Steel and the Tactics, they'll at least know on Sunday what they're playing for, because yeah, as you point out, the Mystics are playing the first game against the Magic, and on form, you would have to think that this would be a Mystics win. But as I say, you know, there are upsets in there. But for the Mystics, the prize is a good one, and that is that you go straight through to the final and you host it. So you have a week off, which is good. And they've been on form and on point as well. So it's going to be an interesting game. I would pick the Mystics, but I wouldn't say it would be an absolute runaway.
Yeah, I would pick the Mystics. The Steel Tactics, like what you've just said, the Tactics virtually lost their whole team, and they've been able to rebuild and basically be competitive in this competition. The Steel have been building for a while. You picked it at the end of last year. You said that the Steel would be in the final. Well, it's a possibility. This one comes down to who gets home advantage. But Lee, does it really matter?
Well, I think it does. I mean, there's no doubt both have got amazing home crowd support. I think the Tactics for their game last week that they played at Wolfbrook, I think they got near 8,000. So, you know, they've had huge home ground, home court. It might have been five, actually, but even five is a massive crowd for New Zealand netball.
Yeah,
and then the Steel put in extra seats when they took on the Mystics in Invercargill. They went to, and they had to go to overtime in that game, and they they put in, I think they got up to 3,500. So, you know, it just shows that good quality netball, but a competition that's actually been pretty tight has actually been good. And I think that's where we suffered, because last year it was pretty, pretty early on, you could tell that it was going to be, you know, the Mystics, and the Tactics looked like, you know, early doors they were going to be the team. As you say, the Tactics have lost Jane Watson, they lost Karen Berger, they lost Pius Selby Ricketts. The previous year they'd lost Kimmy Poy. So really, and Erikana Peterson, who had been their captain, has been injured. So they've really lost and had to rebuild, and that's why I kind of ruled them out at the beginning. But to your point, they played extremely well and kind of got themselves into a winning position. So it's tight at the top. There's only a couple of points separating everybody, so it's not like bonus points are counting. I would say this in regards to the bonus points. I think the system is wrong in that the Steel and the Mystics played in Invercargill and went to overtime. And so at the end of regulation time, it was 52-all, and I think in the end it ended up being something like 63-55. The Steel missed out on a bonus point, which won't really count in the end, but it could have.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fair. I think at the end of the game, if it's a tie and you go into overtime, the most you should at least get a point. Otherwise, you bet it is to forfeit the. You know, if you say you got into a ridiculous situation where you only needed a bonus point to get into the finals, and you were, and it was 53-all, you would literally be better to concede and lose 54-53. And not risk going into overtime and losing by more than five. So I think there's a couple of rule tidies up. That would be one that I would strongly suggest, that if it's full, if at full time the teams are tied and they go to extra time, the losing team picks up a bonus point, because in the end, the Steel would actually now be equal with the Tactics. But to your point, it's that's the big game. It's in Invercargill, which will be an advantage for the Steel. They will hope to win that game and assumingly then play the Tactics 7 days later in the same venue, or they'll have to pack up and leave. Now, if Kimmy Poy was in the Steel, I would go with the home side. Her loss has been huge for the Steel. That said, I thought their effort against the Mystics, where they went to overtime, and then their performance against the Stars, where they cleaned house and won easily, were very, very impressive. For a team that's lost their captain and their absolute linchpin, who had been in mesmerisingly good form. I'm going to go with the home side on this, not by much, just because I think the crowd will help them. I think they've started to click at the right end of the season, and to me, they've got the best shooter in the competition with Aaliyah Dunn, who's been on fire.
Yep.
In fact, so much so now, her name's been thrown in the mix for the Silver Ferns. That's her dominant form, and she just doesn't miss. And you know, I've said to you before, and I've said on the show, if you can shoot, you can win. And the best shooting team, or the best shooter, you know, we saw this with the likes of Grace Nowicki, you know, you have the best shooter in the comp. More often than not, you are absolutely there when the bells are whistling towards the end. So I think with that shooting machine, Georgia Heffernan's also playing well at goal attack, and we saw her sink a couple of two-pointers last week against the Stars. I think that midcourt is maybe their troublesome area, but they seem to have done a nice combination and starting to feed better. And then in Carrie's side, they've got probably the form defender in the competition as well. So there's a nice mix at either end. Up against the Tactics side, as you say, I think they've punched above their weight. But they are, not surprisingly, with Wilkins in charge, they're feisty. They scrap to the end. They play a very Robin Broughton-esque type style, which is based on don't make mistakes, value the ball, and do the basics really well. And that's why when she was in charge of the Sting all those years ago, Wilkins was under her, the Sting were extremely hard to beat. They didn't always have the best side, but they just made the least amount of mistakes. And you see that coming through now, I think, into the Tactics, where they don't make mistakes, they treasure the ball, and they do the right things at the right time. So I'll pick the Steel. Don't be surprised if you see an upset. That game will really take some spice if the Mystics get tipped up and suddenly drop into second place. Now again, what that would mean is that that the winner of the Steel Tactics game would then be the number one qualifier, and presumably the loser would probably have to then go to Auckland to play the Mystics, unless I think the Mystics, the Tactics picked up a losing bonus point by goal differential more, but I haven't worked that one out in my head. But yeah, as you say, the most likely is that the Mystics go through as the top qualifier, and then it's a toss of the coin for the other one.
Just on, you mentioned Jane Watson. Obviously, she announced her retirement this week.
Yeah, and sad for New Zealand netball that that she's leaving. Probably, to be fair to Jane, her best days are probably behind her. But look, she played for the Steel. She's played for the Tactics. She's been a stalwart of the game. She was excellent at international level for a girl who isn't that big in terms of height for a goal D, but really made the best use of what, you know, she had. Very talented, very experienced, extremely competitive, and yeah, a bit of a loss to the game, but you know, and not a great way to go out being injured either, but she's got, you know, a young family, and so, you know, priorities change as they should, so we wish her nothing but the best.
Absolutely. Well, just wrapping up, there was a story going around about Sky TV and New Zealand Netball. What are you hearing? Are they coming close to an agreement regarding...
Well, from a player's perspective, and we've talked about this before, it's late. You know, contracting would normally have started in that you can contract your own players. So the rules used to be that while you could not approach other players could approach you. So if you're sitting suddenly in the Tactics, you could contact and talk to your own players, and then if a player from, say, the Mystics said, well, I want to move to Christchurch, and reached out to the Tactics, then they could have a conversation. That's not happening, and my understanding is it's not going to happen until next week. They haven't signed a deal. I understand that Sky are back at the table. What they're producing in terms of the quality of netball is such that it's making it quite a good proposition. It's just a couple of things. One, with Sky now, what Sky can offer, which they couldn't before, is a free-to-air option on three.
Yeah.
So that may be appealing to Netball New Zealand, because I know they like the model where the games are on TV2 and then TVNZ Plus, so they're getting, you know, a bite across both. And I think they'll like the free-to-air option as well as the Sky TV option. Yes. So they may not have all games on TV3, but they may have, you know, two out of the four games for the weekend, or they might have all four, but to just have them delayed. I'm not, and I've said this before, I think the TVNZ production of netball has been average. I don't like the fact that they have two games back-to-back and they have the same commentary team in both, because it's obvious they're not there, and we've seen the lack of resources that they put on ground at venues where the winning captains and or player of the day have to go over, put the headphones on, and then talk to the commentators who are clearly not courtside. So I'm not sure that's been classy, and I think that the whole presentation of the game could do with a, you know, with a step up. And we saw the likes of when Sky had it, you know, the Storm Purvises, the Anna Stanleys, you know, the Ricky Swinnell's doing the main call. We saw a really solid bunch in there. I don't think we're getting that with TVNZ. But from your point around that, I understand the number is half what it used to be. But at the moment, they're in such trouble, I think that they would take any kind of decent cash deal. There's still rumblings and a lot of players not happy that it looks like there's going to be another pay cut for them coming. They took 20% this year. My understanding is they may have to take another 20%. That's nearly half your wage gone in 2 years. That's a big chunk of change. So lots of players are starting to look overseas.
Yes.
Scouts coming out of England now saying, as I think I said to you a couple of weeks ago, you know, come over here, we'll put you up, we'll fly you, your partner, play netball. The salary's okay. It's just not as good as New Zealand. It's okay. And then holiday around Europe for 6 months. Well, that sounds appealing even to me, and I don't even play the game. And then Australia's still hot property, and they are starting to finalise their squads, and lots of interest from New Zealand players to go over the ditch as well. So, yeah, Netball New Zealand have got some work to do, but whatever they do, they need to do it and do it quick.
So potentially a netball player with the competitions around could play netball full-time. Basically, you can play in Australia and New Zealand and have an off-season in England.
Not really, because their season starts in February, so it kind of cuts. It kind of cuts into it a little bit. But again, look, there's lots of opportunity. I think that because all three competitions across New Zealand, Australia and Great Britain are strong, I think they should have a world club final where the top two teams from England, New Zealand and Australia basically meet, and it can be in either one of those countries, and play off over, you know, 2 weeks to find out the best club in the world. I think that would add spice to it. I think if it's not that, then New Zealand and Australia being so close in terms of proximity definitely should have a finals weekend. But anything that they could do to lift the profile of the game, I think, is it would be, and it would be very interesting to see how our top New Zealand team went against Australia. But I also know that at the moment, New Zealand's under the squeeze, and there's a lot of pressure from players going, well, I'm going to go to Australia. Now, they can't all go, but the ones that can go would be your leading players, and that takes away from your competition. So what we've seen is really good depth this year, but I'm not close enough to the game to know whether the quality's just dropped to a level where that's meant that everybody's more competitive, or where actually the quality's been pretty good. So I can't answer that because I'm not a netball purist, but at least it's been close. The spectacle has been excellent. Lots of games have gone to extra time. The super shot's been well used. So I think overall they'll give it a big, you know, they'll definitely give it an A plus in terms of quality of netball, in terms of closeness of teams and games for 2026.
Cheers, Lee. Thank you so much, mate.
And next up is the panel.
And the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's, every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me. Ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. Hit me, hit me, hit me. In the wilds of Borneo and the vineyards of Bordeaux, Eskimo, Arapaho, move their body to and fro. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Das ist gut, sehr fantastisch. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. It's nice to be a lunatic. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Just before we go to the last part of the show, which is our panel, a big shout out to the Horse and Trap. They're based at Free Enfield Street in Mount Eden. They're your local in Mount Eden, not far from the newly designed Mangawhai Station, which will be opening very soon for CRL. They have great selection. They have some great selection of beer, wine, spirits, great food, daily specials, and a fantastic function room downstairs, which I've been to many functions down there. So get down there, say g'day to Jason and the crew, mention that you've heard it on the Sports Weekender. So their number is 09630 3055, or email them info@horseandtrap.co.nz. Our panel on line one, Miles Davis. How are you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm here, but as you can hear, I've got chainsaws going outside. I've got dogs going mental inside. I've just got to wait till they calm down, the dogs, so that I can go in, away from the chainsaws.
Well, I was just going to say to you, you would have liked that one, hit me with your ribbon stick, and Jerry and the Blockheads.
Yeah, no, I love it. Like I said, I remember years ago buying their album, New Boots and Panties, and there's a song on there called Plasto Patricia, and the intro is like something I've never heard before. You should have a listen to it one day.
Yeah, I should. I won't play it on here just in case I get told to don't come in. Anyway, joining us, he was more or less coerced into it. West Coast farmer, the host of the Countrywide Connect podcast, Andy Thompson. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Amon. Good morning, Miles. Thank you so much for the privilege of appearing on the show again. As you said, I have to take my medicine.
So that's where we're going to start off with. We're going to start off a bit of rugby. What happened? What went wrong last night, Andy? The Chiefs were just too dominant, mate.
Well, so yesterday, I'd spent the last 3 days in Hamilton at the Mystery Creek Field Days. Luckily, I might say, very fortunately, my plane was due to fly out at 6 o'clock last night, which I did get on. I turned down multiple attempts to get me to the game. Corporate box tickets, free accommodation, someone was going to pay for my flights to get home. But I just decided discretion was a better part of valour. And I did manage to get back to Canterbury in time to turn on the TV and witness the complete decimation of the Crusaders. Mate, extraordinary game. Extraordinary first half. Look, I think it's just one of those games sometimes when everything clicks. You're at home, you've got everything to play for, you prepare well, and you just go out there and you execute the perfect game plan. The Crusaders didn't even have a chance to sort of get into their stride. They were knocked off their stride. It was a bit like a boxing match when you walk out there and you get punched in the head in the first 3 seconds, and you struggle to get up, but you just can't land a blow for the rest of the game. And I just think that's what happened.
Miles, have you got sympathy for Andy?
No, don't be ridiculous. but I mean, I love the old. Sometimes, you know, this and that happens. They got their pants pulled down and given a good whacking. And as for his pathetic excuses for not going, what sort of supporter is he? You know, that's probably, I mean, if the fans don't turn up, why should the team bother?
Yeah. Mate, I'd been in Hamilton for 3 days and 3 nights, and a fourth night, I just knew I needed to get out of the place. But look, it is just one of those things. I know you do support them through thick and thin, Miles. I know that you know how to do that. In fact, you're the world champion at supporting teams through thick and thin. So, yeah, I'll take that one on the chin as well.
Just on that, Miles, I was just going to say, is this big match for the Hurricanes tonight at Henry Stadium versus the Blues? You must be feeling and have a bit of confidence with the Hurricanes at the moment.
If you're a Hurricanes fan, you've never got confidence. I've got to say that this season has been one out of the box as far as that goes, because each time you think, this must be the one when they fall over. This must be the one. And even now, I'm thinking tonight, this must be the one that when they fall over. I sincerely hope we don't. We've certainly been the best side probably in the competition. Probably equal along with the Chiefs. Don't forget they got a bonus time or injury overtime win against us. Mind you, a little bit lucky, to be perfectly honest, with the bounce of the ball. But I think the Hurricanes Chiefs would be a fantastic final, probably the two best sides, easily the two best sides in the competition. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little bit nervous, but underneath, quietly confident. I just don't want to Jonah them.
Hey, Miles, the Crusaders all season have been not at their best.
No.
They've made too many unforced errors in a lot of games, and I've seen just about every home game they played this year. They got very lucky in a couple of games. They were terrible in that tour to Australia. I think they lost all 3 games over there. They should have been, if they'd won a couple of games over there, they would have ended up second or third and ended up with a home semi, and that's potentially a completely different game. So they got what they deserved, quite frankly. They were just not up to it, and even when they were winning games, they still won ugly, and they still looked a bit... they still looked a bit fragile and a bit vulnerable, so I wasn't completely surprised to see them get pants last night. I was surprised to see by the margin, by the way, but not to see them lose, because you're right, the Chiefs and the Hurricanes have been the two best teams in the competition, and it's great to see. But it is also nice that we just share the trophy around occasionally, just to keep you lot interested in playing.
Yeah, fair enough. You're only as good as your last game.
Very good, Miles. Very, very good. I will say this. When I looked at the round robin play, that game in Hamilton between the Chiefs and the Hurricanes, the intensity level was far above anything we saw out of any of the Super Rugby sides. And I have to be brutally honest, even though I did text Miles, and I think I texted Miles to say that the Hurricanes were the finished articles until the Village of the Dam comes up and beats you in the final, so I have to give myself a red card on that one.
Yeah, fair enough. I think give yourself two red cards just in case you try and come back on.
Anyway, we better move it on. Okay, big match Tuesday, All Whites versus Iran. I'm hearing some interesting stuff out of America, and this is what I'm hearing, is that the formation has been set. It's no surprise it'll be a 4-2-3-1. My personal preference is to actually have a 4-4-2. Everyone seems to be playing well. I'm hearing inside the camp, they reckon that some players are just standing out, and there may be a few surprises, but I'm looking forward to this. But I say do not underestimate Iran. Miles?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going around underestimating Iran, because that would be a really stupid thing to do. In fact, if I had to pick a winner, I'd pick Iran. The biggest problem that the All Whites have got is they can't score goals. And that's, you know, if you're going to win, if you're going to progress in the tournament, you've got to score goals. I mean, we saw in 2010 in South Africa, they drew all three games, which is great. The only team unbeaten in the tournament, but it didn't get you through to the next round. So they're going to have to score goals. They're fortunate that they've got, you know, a fantastic finisher in Chris Wood. And he's getting on now, but he just seems to get better and better. His positioning, his running off the ball is just superb. And as I say, his finishing's just brilliant. And I'm with you. I mean, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I love the old 4-4-2. In fact, or even the 4-3-3 or the 3-4-3, if you want to really get carried away with it. But I just think the All Whites need to step up. They've Iran, it'd be interesting, because I think most of the fans there will be supporting the All Whites, because there's going to be no love lost, you know, for the Iranians. They're going to really get stuck into them. And I think that's a little bit unfortunate, because the players are subjugated. I bet you none of them would want to really go back to Iran. So I feel a little bit sorry for them, but I think it's going to play into the All Whites' favour, having the crowd behind them.
Just on that, I was just letting you know that apparently that it is a sellout, and apparently most of the fans are Iranian, because they've got a huge Iranian community in LA, Miles.
Yeah, I know they've got a lot, but I'm sure Americans would have sneaked in there as well, quite a few of them. So,
oh, yeah.
I think it'll be a great atmosphere. I mean, so far, obviously, you've had host nations playing, the Mexico. I still don't understand why they're not playing the final at the Azteca in Mexico City. That would be a fantastic place to play at, not in a country that treats football as a second-class citizen, the States. The Canada crowd were brilliant this morning. And we've got the Yanks this afternoon, so it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Absolutely. Just, Andy, you looking forward to Tuesday?
I am looking forward to it. I must say that I agree with your comments about I'm not underestimating Iran. There's a country that they're playing in has done that quite recently and almost come off second best, so definitely we shouldn't be underestimating them. The thing about it, normally in a tournament like this, players, you know, in some of these games from these sort of countries want to claim asylum in the country, but they certainly wouldn't want to do that in America. They'd be put in worse conditions than they would anywhere else, so definitely not a thing. When it comes to the All Whites themselves, mate, I'm not really the right person to comment too much on it, although I do agree with Miles. Chris Wood is an absolute legend, and he's our one world-class player, and the fact that we've got him in the team means that, well, definitely we've got a chance. But, yeah, we don't score goals. That seems to be New Zealand football for quite some years. And if we could break that and we get someone, you know, coming through and all of a sudden we do something a bit different, and maybe that's what you're alluding to, I think, that we are going to do something a bit different, and that's probably the right thing to do. If we go out there and get, you know, traditional play, they break us down or they just hold us up, well, yeah, it will be like that. So we probably do have to roll the dice, so good. I hope they do.
Yeah, and one of the things is with this tournament, and I must admit, I saw a bit of the when I got home last night, I saw a bit of the Korea Czech Republic match, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the World Cup. I haven't seen any of the halftime shows. I wonder who they're going to roll out for the New Zealand Iran match. I can't really see them bringing Ray Wolfe over, Miles. Could you?
Oh, Ray, I did a gig with him a few years back.
I bet you he was happy about that.
Oh, no, he loved it, mate. No, he's fantastic. It was bowel cancer, I think, is awareness. Yeah. I think Ray suffered from that. But those half-day entertainments, sod off. You know, it's they're really trying to yankify it. And the price of the tickets are just outrageous, absolutely outrageous. I think there's some for the final of the cheaper ones are going for $8,000. It's like, you know, it's taking it away from the fans.
It certainly has. And something we all like to do is the price of beer. Andy, it's about 19 American dollars for a beer, a premium beer at one of the stadiums.
Mate, I'm sorry, but American beer, they'd have to pay me 19 to drink it, honestly. I'd rather throw up in my mouth and drink that crap. So definitely not going there to drink the beer. But yeah, look, those price tickets, as Miles was saying, you've got to say that isn't FIFA one of the most vile organisations in the world? They really, really are. I know they talk about all the stuff that they do and all the building the game and that, but it's just all about money. And yeah, I agree with them. I just think it's such a shame that the entire tournament is now just money, money, money. And it is a great event. I'm like you. I do love the World Cup, and I'll get into it. I just haven't had a chance to yet. Certainly will enjoy it when it gets underway. But it'll take me a little bit to get through. You know, I watch the All Blacks games, some of the big clashes, and some of the other in some of the other rounds or groups. But it's not till we get to quarters or knockout football that it'll really take off for me.
Absolutely. Well, obviously overnight the big news, Kane Williamson has retired from Test cricket, effective immediately. I have to say, one of the greats of our time. And, you know, we mentioned the greats of our games. You mentioned Sir Richard Hadlee. You mentioned Martin Crowe. But this guy is definitely in the top five of any great New Zealand cricketers. And I will have to say that good on him. He's gone out on his own terms. It hasn't been the Kane Williamson retirement tour as it was a couple of years ago with the Tim Southee retirement tour. He has always been a great ambassador to New Zealand cricket. And to be honest with you, he's been there for the great moments of that era of New Zealand cricket, which he has either whether been a batsman or a captain. I'll start off with you, Thompson.
Mate, we have been privileged to witness greatness, and the names of those players who you mentioned, yes, he is definitely up there with the top five of all-time New Zealand players. To retire with an average, I checked it this morning, I think it's 54.3 in tests, is just extraordinary. 110 tests that he played. Don't forget that he actually was a bowler as well. He took 30 wickets. His best, I think, was 4 for 44 in his spin bowling. But obviously, as his career got took off with batting, he just concentrated on batting more and more. But I remember 15 years ago, a mate of mine who was a massive Northern Districts fan said to me, Andy, there's this young guy coming out of it might have been 20 years ago, to be honest. But there's this young guy coming through the Northern Districts. He's going to be the best batsman New Zealand's ever had. And I went, oh, yeah, I've heard this a bit before, you know, with young players. No, he said his name's Kane Williamson. Keep an eye out for him. He's actually fairly handy. Well, yeah, he was pretty right, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Your thoughts on Miles on Kane Williamson? He's been brilliant, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think it goes wider than just New Zealand. I think that he'd be right up there in world echelons, and I know that he's admired and respected all around the world. His career stacks up with anyone, you know, in terms of any batsman that you could mention. So he's going to be a massive loss. And what I love about him is he's so understated. There's nothing, you know, over the top or flash. We haven't seen any, you know, heard any scandals around him. It's a bit of a pee. I like a good scandal. but the thing that I remember is he gave him sign a bat, which I gave to my kids. And I said, how's the bat going? They destroyed it in the back garden. Older brothers, I gave a ball that Shane Warne had signed for me, and they lost it in the night. They were playing with it, and they lost it in the neighbour's garden. So a bit of advice: if you get anything off a top cricketer, don't let your kids anywhere near it. He will be missed, and I wonder why he's just suddenly chopped it. Maybe I'm sure he's still going to play the shorter version. He's still got plenty in him to do that, but I just wonder why he chopped the test this early.
Do you know what I think it was? I think he was just probably even last season and in the home series, I think he just lost his enthusiasm there, Miles.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair enough. At the end of the football season, I'd lost enthusiasm of watching West Ham, that's for sure.
Yeah, well.
We've done well not to go there, haven't we, on that one? But just on Kane, you're right, he is up there with Root, Coley. In these modern era, they're the awesome foursome, and he was right up there in that awesome foursome. They talked about the world, you know, the top four batsmen in the world. If you get a chance, and I don't know where to find this, but I think it was a Sky Sport halftime show when they did a 40-minute masterclass with Sky Sport UK, where they or in the middle of one of the test matches, and they got Kane Williamson in the net, and they did this absolute masterclass of just talking him through about how he batted, which ball, how he hit each ball. It was the most incredible thing. He will not be lost. He will be coaching. 100% he has to be coaching. And when he starts to do that, I think we could be in for an extraordinary time with him as a coach, because he will not be lost to cricket, I don't think.
Anyway, we move on. Warriors, they've had a few injuries, but to me, they're still the hottest ticket in up here in the 09. Playing the same time as the Hurricanes, obviously you will have some mixed emotions about this, Miles.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching the Warriors. They just got, and I love the fans, man. You know, I've probably said this before, but it's not just a sporting asset to Auckland, it's a social one as well. And I really miss going along there and getting abused by the Mad Butcher. And and the fact, even when they used to have, you know, shit weather and fans, you know, crowds of about 8,000, every one of those 8,000 participated. And I've always felt, if you're going to go to a game, be part of it, or else stay at home and watch it on the telly. I mean, they're on the opposition's back, they're on the referee's back, they're just, you know, they're lifting their own team. It's a real joy to go there. I'll definitely be watching the Hurricanes though, but keeping an eye on the Warriors.
Andy, your thoughts on the Warriors?
Warriors. They're in extraordinary form at the moment, so they've had the week off. I looked at the odds. The Sharks are, Warriors about $1.15, I think. Sharks are playing about $3 or $4. So obviously they think that they're going to just storm over them at home. And why wouldn't you think that at home? And I agree with Miles, actually. I've only been to one or two Warriors matches in my life, and I think both of them were down here in Christchurch. I haven't been to a Warriors game at Mount Smart. But that crowd is just extraordinary, even here in Christchurch. And, mate, next Sunday afternoon, Warriors versus the Cowboys here in Christchurch in the new stadium. That is going to be a sight to behold as well. So just hope they can keep their winning ways and come into it. Look, I think probably what will happen for me tonight is I'll keep an eye on both games and keep an eye on the scores. When I think the Hurricanes have steamed over the Blues, I'll just switch back to the Warriors, I suspect, because I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Just one thing in leaving, guys, and this just quickly. Tony Brown coming back 2028 as assistant coach for the All Blacks. Doesn't matter who he's going to coach with. Quickly, Miles, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, they've been wanting to get him into the fold for a while. He was committed to South Africa, his contract, which he said. And I think that the fact that they're doing it so far in advance indicates to me that it's a succession planning and they want him eventually to take over. You know, it's a couple of years out, so offer someone, you know, sign him up 2 years out is a pretty bold move, but they really rate him. I'm sure he'll add a lot, but I reckon he's going to be the All Black coach once they sack poor old Dave, who I love.
And Andy, your thoughts?
Oh, look, two years out that they've signed him as assistant coach. As old Johns, he might end up the coach at that time. You don't really know. The fact that they have locked him into the NZRFU system or the NZ Rugby system 2 years out, definitely. And it's a great move. It is unusual. Like, normally a head coach can choose his assistant, but they've gone, no, if you want to be the head coach of the All Blacks, you're going to have Tony Brown involved. So, yep, I think it's a great move.
Have to say, and I have to agree with you both, well, what's the weekend hold for you, Miles? Obviously watching the Hurricanes, watching a bit of football.
Yeah, and I've got to go out and make sure my dogs in the garage haven't killed each other, because we've had three massive macrocarpa trees chopped down, and we've got some mates that got wood fires, so they've been coming round every weekend chopping it up, and they've got a chainsaw going, and one of my dogs is really anxious and reactive, and when she gets upset, she attacks her brother, so I'm hoping there isn't blood and, you know, fur all over the place when I go in there.
That's a lovely way to end the show for you, Miles. Have a great weekend, mate. Andy,
cheers, Tomo.
Cheers, mate.
As I just said, Andy, I told you that there wouldn't be an issue. You wouldn't get a hard time. You've come through this, even though you had a hard 4 days, 3 days in Hamilton and obviously back to Christchurch. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, mate.
Mate, I've been trolled mercilessly. I had over one...